the book of Jonah, only four chapters. And Jonah, four chapters, 48 verses, very short. And actually, when you get to thinking about it, Jonah should have only been two chapters long. If you think about it. Two chapters is dealing with Jonah running. And then if you look at verse 1 of chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, and so on and so forth. But look at chapter 3 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city. So chapters 1 and chapters 2, if it had done what he said it was supposed to do the first time, Jonah would have only been two chapters long. And that's something. So now we've got four chapters because it takes two chapters for God to track Jonah down. How many times the Lord have to track us down? Ain't that something? And so Jonah is a picture not only of a backslider or a person that is a sinner, because the Bible says there, this is just introduction now, this is just review. When chapter verse number 3, Jonah arose to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa. Verse 5, he goes down unto the sides of the ship. When you leave the presence of the Lord, you're going down, 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 further and further away from the Lord. And then you'll notice that in verse 3, so he paid the fare thereof. I think Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he pictures a sinner. But then you have to look and look at verse number 12. Jonah pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this sense, think about this. Y'all remember the story? Again, this is all introduction. But you remember the story of Jesus falling asleep in the bottom of the boat. The disciples were all up there, and there was an uproar, and the storm was coming, and this, that, and the other. They go down the bottom of the ship, said, Jesus, wake up. Carest thou not that we perish? He goes to the veil of the ship. Peace be still. The winds and the waves cease, and they calm. Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the boat. All the other mariners and the shipmen are on the disturbed about the storm, and they're about to go under. They go down to the bottom of the ship. Jonah, you about to kill us. What's going on? What have you done? What have you done? You done made your God mad. All this kind of thing. And so the only way to get the storm to cease and to save everybody was for Jonah to be thrown overboard. Now think. Was it 12? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jonah had to be lifted up and thrown over. Jesus Christ had to be lifted up and crucified on the cross to get the judgment of God off of everybody. Jonah had to be lifted up and thrown overboard to get the judgment of God off of everybody. See, Jonah thought that what he was doing was only affecting him. But Jonah's disobedience to God was affecting everybody around him. And so that's what goes on. So Jonah is a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense. Now, here let me show you one more thing in Jonah 1. And then we're going to chapter 2. Anytime, here's something you need to watch. Anytime Jonah and the Lord are talking, one with another, back and forth, it's always capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the Hebrew, that is Jehovah. That is Jehovah God. In other words, that describes a relationship. When the mariners, when the shipmen in the ship that don't know God, when they refer to Him, they refer to Him as a capital G, small O-D, God, which is in the Hebrew Elohim, which is the general term, plural term for God. So when you have a personal relationship with Him, here, watch this. Look at verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, small G-O-D, and cast forth the wares and so on and so forth. After Jonah went overboard, watch what happens. Look, and verse number 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So because Jonah went overboard, because he was lifted up, these men got saved. Because Jesus was lifted up, because Jesus was crucified, people are getting saved. You understand? Now, let's go to chapter number 2. And let's look at some interesting things, or at least I hope they will be interesting things. Look at the last verse of chapter 1. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, remember what I told you. Number one, Jonah's a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to find that out in Matthew, what is it, Matthew 12:40. In Matthew 12:40, it says, for as Jonas, again, remember I told you this last week, the same person, Jonah. We're coming from, in the New Testament, from Greek to English, as Jonas. Hebrew, Old Testament, to English, Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Now, have you ever heard somebody say, well, now the Bible don't say that it was a whale in Jonah. In Jonah, it says a great fish, right? Jonah says a great fish, and you have these smart folks that say, well, it doesn't say a whale. Well, how many of y'all trust what Jesus said? Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Guess what that great fish was in Jonah chapter number 1, verse 17, is a whale. Why? Because Jesus said it was. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah goes 3 days, three nights in the whale's belly. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, goes 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. Picture a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look here at Jonah. People say, I'll give you this again, but people say, well, there's no way a whale can swallow a man. That's just impossible. Science proves that a whale's throat is too small to swallow a man. Well, you know, the Bible says Jesus confounded the doctors and the lawyers. Amen. When science goes against the Bible, we throw out science and we go with the Bible. Everybody says, well, we need to go by the experts. The experts don't know anything. They built the Titanic and it sunk. Noah, an amateur, built the ark and it floated. See, so don't fall into this this philosophy of the world that says, well, we need to listen to the experts. They know more. No, God knows more. God knows more. And especially those experts that's been trained in those liberal colleges, they don't know anything. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's Jonah. Y'all see Jonah? About a 6-foot fella. I think that whale could have swallowed him, that whale could have swallowed him, that one whale, and that one sure could have swallowed him. 30 meters, that's almost 100 feet long. You imagine God. Now, verse 17, I'm getting somewhere. You imagine God. Number one, what is a whale? What is a whale doing in the Mediterranean Sea? First of all. Okay? First of all, what is a whale doing in this canal, this Mediterranean Sea? First of all. Second of all, can you imagine God made all things, right? So, Jonah, disobeying God, going the wrong direction, as we saw last week. Jonah is right here. And he's supposed to be going there, a very little short trip, to preach to these people. And he catches a boat going over here. Totally the opposite way. You couldn't get any further from God. There's a storm out there, and all of a sudden God calls this fish up, this whale, and says, look, I need you to go through this canal right here. I know you are not used to going through here, but I need you to go through here and just swim up here and swallow the first man you see. I'll have him over the boat just in the nick of time. Just have your mouth open and swallow him. And the whale says, "Well, you know, now this ain't in the Bible, okay?" And the whale's going, "You know, hey, we don't come this way." God says, "Well, you just do what I said, and there will be a preacher there that's going the wrong direction. I need you to just open your mouth and swallow him whole and wait till I tell you what to do next." And this whale's like, "All right, I'll do it." He's swimming down through here, and all of a sudden, can you imagine? Now, this people think God don't have a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. Can you imagine Jonah? Jonah's like, "Guys, you're going to throw me overboard to get this storm to stop." Okay? They throw Jonah overboard, and he's going down, okay? And all of a sudden, he looks behind him, and there's a whale. He's like, "Guys, put me back in the ship." You know? And this thing swallows him whole. And you say, "You really believe that?" I really believe that. The Bible says so. You have to understand whether you're going to be a Bible believer or a Bible corrector. And I just choose to be a Bible believer. If that Bible would have told me that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have believed it. Why? Because I trust God, and I trust that I have His Word. So anyway, he prepared this great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, look at chapter number 2, and let's look at something. I want to ponder something with you just for a second. Because chapter 2 is only 10 verses long, okay? Only 10 verses. And all of chapter 2, Jonah is in the belly of the whale, okay? Now, let me ask you a question before we read. Was Jonah dead? Or was Jonah alive? You don't have to answer out loud. Don't. Just think. Was Jonah dead or alive? He's thrown overboard in the sea. Now, I don't know how good a swimmer he was. But if the whale swallowed him whole, was he dead or was he alive? Interesting. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Well, he's praying, right? Okay. And said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep." Now, look at verse number 3 very carefully, because verse chapter 1 says the mariners threw him over. Verse 3 of chapter 2 says God threw him over. And that's something. God controls it all. "For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows, all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee in thy holy temple. That thou observed lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." That's all 10 verses. That's the whole vision, if you will, of Jonah being in the belly of the whale. Now, let me ask you a question. I asked you this a while ago. Was Jonah dead or alive? All right? We read a while ago in Matthew 12:40 that Jonah is a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. "As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now let me ask you a question. Was Jesus dead or alive? You don't have to answer out loud. Don't. was Jonah dead or alive? And the answer to was Jonah dead or alive, you have to answer this question. Was Jesus dead or alive? All right? You want the answer? It's both. Yes to both. You say, how can it be dead and alive? Think. Jesus dies upon the cross. His body goes to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He died. Died for the sins of the whole world, right? Up on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. His spirit goes back to the Father. His soul, Matthew 12:40, the Son of Man, 3 days, 3 nights, where? In the heart of the earth. Well, I thought he was in the tomb. I thought his spirit went back to the Father, but his soul went to the heart of the earth. You see? Jesus was dead, but he was very much alive. Jonah was dead, but he was very much alive. You understand? Does that make sense? Jonah's body probably died, but his soul and spirit went somewhere else, to the lower parts of the earth. I'll show you what I mean in just a second. Now, you know, again, you just have to determine, okay, are you going to believe the Bible? All right, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. So he's praying there in the fish's belly. Can he pray and be dead? Well, listen, Jesus was dead in the tomb, but he preached the spirits in prison in the lower parts of the earth at the same time. You see? So you can be both in this sense. Now, all right, okay, just occurred to me. How many of you got loved ones that have passed on and gone on? Okay, are they dead or are they alive? Their body is dead, but their soul and spirit is very much to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Look at verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of where? Now, I've heard some, and I've read commentaries, sometimes they say, well, if you were in the belly of the whale, it would have been hell to you. Why, yes, I probably would agree with that. I probably would agree with that. Yes, that would have been an experience, and we probably would have said, boy, I just experienced hell, you know, something like that. But Jonah prayed, could it be that Jonah went in that belly of the whale, died, and God took him down to the lower parts of the earth and opened up hell and let Jonah look in and see what was going on down there? You say, well, why? Why would he do that? Because Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach to that Gentile. Jonah's a Jew. Go preach to that Gentile city. I ain't preaching them Gentiles. They can all go to hell. Right? Jonah says, I ain't preaching to them. I don't like them. God, they are our Jew. They are the Jews' worst enemy. I don't care if they go to hell. And he gets on the ship, goes the opposite direction. God says, all right, let me show you something. Swallows Jonah, takes him down, opens the doors of hell. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I. And then when we read in chapter 3, that whale spits up Jonah, vomits Jonah up on the... And he takes off running toward where? Nineveh. Why? Because he seen where those people were going if he didn't go preach to them. Isn't that something? Was Jonah dead or alive? Probably both. He said, out of the belly of hell cried I, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, the floods compassed me about, the billows, and so on and so forth. You say, where is hell? Hell, if you remember in science class, hell is in the center of the earth. Right now, the core of the earth. That's where hell is. What it is a burning ball of fire. That's where people go. Luke 16. Now, a lot of churches, you don't hear about hell anymore. Why? Because that don't build great churches. That don't build a lot of people to come here preaching on hell. But look, people are dying and going to that place, not knowing Jesus Christ. And if God could open the doors, of hell and let us look over, we would be better servants for God because of it. So you say, where'd they go? Well, that ship, it was a whale ship. a whale of a ship. Took him down to the bottoms of the mountains in the ocean, to the floors of the ocean. You say, here's something I want to point out to you. Some info, if you will, about hell, real quick. Some interesting things about hell. I'll give it to you real quick. Some stuff on hell. Hell has... Let me preface it by saying this. What we've been taught all our lives, or what we've heard, or what we see on television or National Geographic or whatever, is hell's not a real place. It's just a state of mind. And, all of that kind of thing. Some of the cults don't believe there's a hell. They believe there's a heaven, but they don't believe there's a hell. Well, if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell. You know? And so there are definite things, descriptions of hell. I'll give you just a few of them. Number one is found in Matthew 16. I've got it on the screen there for you. Matthew 16:18. Jesus said this, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, gates more than one of hell, shall not prevail against it. Hell's got gates. You see that? Matter of fact, over there in Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains of the earth with her bars was about me forever. Now, somebody will say, well, that was the whale's rib cage. I don't know. It says the earth has bars. I'm sure the whale did too, or rib cage. But that Bible says the earth with her bars. Matthew 16 says hell has gates. Well, gates have what? Bars. You see, by comparing Scripture to Scripture, we learn a lot that normally you wouldn't hear about. Well, with those bars, I've got it for you. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of what? Now, why would you need keys of hell? Why? Because it's got gates and it's got bars. Now, if a place has keys and gates and bars, sounds like a prison to me, don't it you? Well, 1 Peter 3:19 says, this is Jesus going down 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Here's Jesus, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits where? In prison. It is a prison. It's got gates, it's got bars. People are locked up there. Not only is there fire there, not only is there weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and burning and fire and brimstone, but there's gates and bars and keys that have to let you in and out and all that kind of thing going on. It's a prison. Isn't that something? Matter of fact, Proverbs, here's something else interesting. Proverbs 7:27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Have you ever been in a prison? Sometimes in serving documents and things like that, sometimes you have to go into a prison, and there's different compartments that you go in. There's maximum, there's minimum security, there's whatever, you know. And sometimes there's different. You've got people that in a different compartment that are on death row. You've got some over here that are first-time offenders or what they call, I forget, but anyway, minimum security, and they're over in a different compartment. Hell's the same way. Chambers of death. There's different compartments. You say, who all's down there? Well, over there in Jude, it says the angels that kept not their first estate, they're in a certain compartment. That's in the book of Jude. Those angels that kept not their first estate in Genesis chapter number 6. There are, let's see, what was it in the book of Revelation? Those angels, no. That may be in Jude as well. Those angels that are chained up in the bottom of the Euphrates River. It's an amazing thing. Revelation 9 calls it a bottomless pit. Isaiah calls it the sides of the pit. You say, how in the world can it be a bottomless pit? Well, if hell's in the center of the earth, y'all do realize the earth is spinning out there in outer space, right? And as it's spinning, it's going around the axis around the sun, right? Well, if you're in hell, and you're falling in hell, and almost just before you get to the bottom, that earth has done turned, and you're falling some more. It's a bottomless pit. You'll never find the bottom. Isn't that something? Jonah, I believe this with all my heart, that God allowed Jonah to look and see that this actually is a real place. People are actually going there. Luke 16 says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Did I write it down? Maybe I did. Let me see what this says. Deuteronomy 32, verse 22. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn into the lowest hell. Well, just let me ask y'all a question, very simple. If there's a lowest hell, then there's one that is high, right? So there is different compartments. This one's talking about the lowest hell. Isn't that something? You know, the Bible is an amazing book. It is very educational, and it'll help you and define a lot of things. Notice what else it says. As she shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Foundations of the mountains. Where did that whale take Jonah? The bottoms of the mountains. The foundation. The bottoms of the mountains. Jonah chapter 2, Deuteronomy 30. The foundation of the mountain, that's the bottom. Ain't that something? You say, well, I didn't know all that was in Jonah. Well, it's in there. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And I'll finish by saying this, because I did want to quit just a little earlier tonight. But you think, there's only 10 verses there in chapter 2. But you think about God taking Jonah. Remember, Jonah is a runaway. He's running away from the presence of the Lord, trying to get away from what God has called him to do. Listen, you can't get away from what God calls you to do. Listen, I've tried. I've tried several times to get away. My uncle's a preacher. My dad's a preacher. God called me to preach when I was 18. I said, no way can do. I've seen all that stuff. I've been in church all my life. I've seen how churches can be and do. And we all have, right? But I can't get away from it. I tried because I was on the road seeing it. And man, I'm thinking I'm going to be on the next Bill Gaither video. I already had my life planned out. You with me? God calls you to preach, man. You can't do nothing else. I tried. I remember it was Easter Sunday morning. I called my dad. We were in Texas somewhere. And I called my dad. And I said, Lord, I think the Lord's calling me to preach. That's what he said. It's exactly his words. Exactly. He said, try to get out of it if you can. I said, now, Dad, why are you trying to talk me out of it? He said, because if I can talk you out of it, God didn't call you. If God called you, you can't do nothing but preach. That's what Jonah was supposed to do. And I believe with all my heart. You don't have to believe like I do, but I read the verses and I hope you see what I see. But I believe. I believe God took Jonah in the belly of that whale and he opened up hell. Was Jonah dead or alive? He was probably dead in that whale's belly. Probably was. But he was very much alive in his soul and spirit. You say, preacher, I just don't believe that's possible. Well, you don't believe 2 Corinthians 11 then. Paul says, I knew a man above 14 years, whether in the body, out of the body, I can't tell. Only God knoweth, who is called up to the third heaven. Out of his body. Took him down there and showed him all what was going on in hell. And then that's when Jonah prayed. And I'll end with this. Jonah prayed and made a deal with God. God, get me out of here. And I'll go. Now listen, if you're going to make a deal with God like that, when he delivers you, do what you said you was going to do. So many people. September the 11th, y'all remember where you were when September the 11th happened? You know? Churches were full. Lord, please. Lord God, give me one more chance. I'm going to church. I'm taking my family to church. Well, that lasted about 2 months. You know, it died off. That's why when Jonah was vomited up by that whale, he ran straight, well, I didn't took it off the screen, straight to Nineveh and preached to them people. Because he'd seen something that most of us hadn't seen. Amen? All right.